Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome, welcome one and all to Knife Talk, the only show that's out there that's worth its salt if you're into knives, whether you're a maker, whether you're a collector, or you just like knives, you come to the right show, Knife Talk, with myself, Craig Lockwood of Chop Knives, Jeff Fader of Fader Knives, and normally we have Mareko of Momassi Fire Arts with us, but he's travelling, he's doing his tour, which he's been on for all year, I think, but hopefully he'll be back next week. So you're left with just myself and Jeff. Jeffrey, how are things?
Good. How are you? I just saw Mareko. He's, as we speak, I think he's in Rhode Island. He's going to do another one of his classes. And I saw him at Maker Camp this past weekend.
Nice.
We had a very, very, very nice time. And it was great. And everybody was there. Tons of Knife Talk listeners were there. I had a number of people saying, "Where's Craig?"
One day,
and yeah. Every time I go to Blade Show or one of these events, and someone says, "When are we going to get Greg here?" I take my first finger and my second finger and my thumb, and I put it together like, "Pay up, motherfucker! What are you just going to stumble on over here?" You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Guy's got—he's a rock star, and he's got kids and all things. We can talk about Maker Camp, but I have some dying questions for you about what you've been up to. And we'll get back to Maker Camp. Don't worry about that. I need to know. I saw the picture of you in the water.
Oh.
I need to know about the video shoot and what you've been up to.
Yes. So, first of all, we had a gig in Bath, which is a city in England, which I flew in for last week, hence missing last week's show. And it was great. So it sounds mad, but we've been supporting a tribute band. So there's an Oasis tribute band called Oasis, but they're like the world's biggest Oasis tribute band. So they played in Dubai and they go around the world. They're huge. They sell out every time. They're big in their own right. So we've done a few shows with them, and it is always nuts. They're always sell out in like decent sized venue. And it was like a 800 capacity venue. We're doing another one in a couple of weeks' time. That's like 1,200, but sold out like months in advance. So they're always good shows for us because it's a relevant audience,
right?
And it's packed, and it works out well for us, and they look after us as well. But so that was it was a really great show. It was great. So then what happened? So I'm trying to think now of what happened. Let's start. I flew into the UK on the Wednesday. With my wife, we watched a gig in a big arena in London that night. The next morning, she flew back to France to be with the kids. I then went on to Wales, met my band. We did our gig and the rest of it. Then I come back to France. So I'm back in France now. Arrived back in France on the Sunday. 7 o'clock Monday morning was a video shoot. And this had to happen no matter the weather. So we talked about a few weeks ago the video shoot was. Basically, I walk into this. I'm playing guitar, walking across the beach, and I walk into this into the water, completely over my head. So we did it, and it was fucking freezing, as I thought it would be. But it was real good fun. Actually, it was real good fun. So That was just one element of the video. So there's lots of elements. We've been busy the last few days sorting things out for that. So yeah, it's been a mad couple of weeks. And I fly back again to the UK tomorrow, first thing tomorrow morning. So that's back and forth three times in like 10 days.
Wow.
Because we've got a big gig in London on Friday night. And this is by it's difficult to talk about without sort of, because it's big for us anyway. It's huge. So yeah. So it's going to be fun.
Well, this is going to be coming out on Monday. So if you said it now, would people, you can't bust any news or, don't get in trouble. I mean,
Get in trouble. Everything we do is sort of linked to Oasis weirdly because of our producer was their producer. So we've been booked by their management company, Ignition, to do a private event, which is like an Oasis sort of memorabilia event in a big hotel in London where people fly in from all over the world and they buy guitars and all the rest of it. And we've been asked to play.
Wow.
So it's quite a big one for us because there's, you know, members of Oasis are there, management are there. There'll be lots of management for other bands there as well, and that kind of, you know, big bands. So yeah, it's good for us. A few people who are in Noel Gallagher's band, they've got their own band now, so they're performing as well. So it's going to be real fun for us as fans of all that kind of stuff. It'll be fun for us anyway. But yeah, just to be booked by their management company to play this corporate event is a big thing for us.
But they're now that Oasis is coming back, it's like a global phenomenon. People are going apeshit.
Bigger than they were in the 90s, to be honest with you. I mean, they're selling out huge stadiums in the US, which they wouldn't have in the 90s, you know? And obviously the same happened here in the UK.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's a nostalgia for 90s stuff. I think it's people of our age who now have kids of their own who are old enough to be out to gigs and so on, of discovering music. And I don't think there's that melodic guitar music out there. To be honest with you, nobody else is doing it. And, you know, music comes around in circles, doesn't it? So, you know, people, you know, being into the Beatles back in the 90s, it's the same sort of thing. Mm. It's come sort of full circle. And nobody really is, certainly in the UK, nobody's taken over that mantle of, you know, being that band. And there hasn't been that band since then, really. Certainly not, you know, as I say, here in Europe. So everybody's gone a bit mad for it, if you pardon the phrase. And it's good for us. It's good for us because we're getting a lot of attention from that as well. And what is crazy as well, so all this is happening. It was Sunday when I flew back here to France. So I'm at the airport and I'm going to the lines of security and I'm thinking, I know that guy. He's the keyboardist of a guy called Mike Rowe, a keyboard in Oasis and Noel Gallagher's keyboard player. And he was behind me in security. And I was like, oh wow.
You'd be kidding me.
So I had a chat with him. He was on the same flight as me. So we chatted for like an hour and a half waiting for our flight. He was actually on the same flight as me then coming over because he has a house about an hour from me, like a holiday house about an hour from me. And it was just like, what are the fucking chances of that? But instantly my cred went up because I said, we're doing an event with your management company, Ignition, on Friday. And he's like, I'll come along. And it's like, it was just like, what?
Dude.
It was great.
This is crazy.
I've had a real rock star week. Yeah, yeah.
No, but the last 3 years, you've manifested this. You've inserted yourself into this world that you always wanted to be in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is quite crazy how it's sort of taken over my life a bit, really. It's all my time is basically on this now, really, you know. It's where my income coming from as well. It's all a bit crazy.
It's fantastic.
It's good. And what really exciting is we've got great songs that are coming out over the next few months. So that's the main thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's been my week. It hasn't finished yet. I fly back tomorrow. We're going back with all the kids as well because they've got 2 weeks off. So I've got a few things going on. So we're all going back. We're flying. We're not driving, thankfully.
Oh God! Thank God you're on that. Thank God it's so cheap.
They're a bit older now. So yeah, it's easier to fly with them now, I think. And that's been my week. What about you?
It's been madness. Back to Maker Camp. So Maker Camp, if you don't know, Maker Camp is in East Durham, New York. It started at this place called the Blackthorn Resort. Friends of Jimmy DiResta. This big resort, basically. And one of the owner's sons who manages the place wanted to have an event, like a Maker Camp. So 5 years ago, Jimmy had gone to Maker Fair, that where John Ariani, Cliff Dufton, Jesse, and Carrie Savage and I did an event, and they were like, he was so excited, he thought maybe we could do it upstate. Ended up doing it upstate, and then the past 5 years, it's been like pretty significantly amazing, with lots of Instagram people and knife makers and woodworkers and all sorts of disciplines. And every year it gets bigger and bigger.
Is it Jimmy's event? Does he put it on?
No, he's just like, I think he helps promote it. But right. I mean, it's like 3 miles from his house.
Oh, right.
And so Net really doesn't have much to do. And he doesn't, I think that's the reason why he likes it, because he doesn't have to do anything.
Right.
Like
yeah.
the Blackthorn yeah. does everything. They have a great staff there, and they put tents up and bring out power. And nice. Chris Cash is very involved, and the whole thing is a great vibe. And yeah. there are companies that come, like Lincoln, a welding company, and Evenheat's there. I talked to Spence from Evenheat. Nice. Lawrence Lake from Maritime Knife Supply was there. Talked to him. The Broadbeck guys were there. Talked to them. Total Boat, all these guys, everybody, you know, we deal with. I had a very nice conversation with them. So we got up there, and I got up there Saturday, and everybody had been there Friday night, and everyone was a little hungover, I must say, because there was, you know, the whole thing is at night everyone kind of gets together, and they have big campfires, and then there's cooking, and there's like, they're doing this giant barbecue, but then there's this weird, you know, kind of family meal situation, and Joyce Cuddy and Steve Pellegrino are cooking. Like,
sounds great. It's really good fun.
We had family meal in the back. So I get there, and everyone is doing their thing, and I'm setting up, and we're setting up some knives, some little knives to have, and, you know, I set stuff to sell, merch and stuff like that. And for me, it's like I go there to make a little money, hang out with my friends, see some people, and then, you know. But I know that I'm not going to go too hard in the paint, just because, like, 50. And like it, yeah. I don't fucking, my fucking shit doesn't come back as quickly as I did when I was 20. Yeah, and then I was supposed to do this run with Brian House.
Ah, yeah. Whoa, you say supposed to.
I have.
I'm hearing excuses already.
You know what? My conscience is cleared, because I was just like, all right, I'm not going to drink anything with these motherfuckers. Because I got to now all of a sudden, you know, everything is like, I'm being looked at under the microscope, and I'll tell you about the fucking. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to have anything to drink. I'm going to go to bed early, and I'm going to do this goddamn run. And then all of a sudden, I saw Mareko and his son and his wife, and we were talking. And then I guess Mareko had said to Brian that the weather on Sunday is supposed to be bad. Well, they looked at the weather, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was supposed to be a downpour. Mm. So Brian says, we're not doing that. And frankly, you know what? Hilarious. I mean, not that hilarious, but at the same time, we had a huge storm, Milton. A hurricane came through Florida, and I was under the impression that, you know, I know that it was going passing through where Brian lives, and part of it, Brian was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to Breaker Camp, and part of me is like, I really hope it misses Brian, but I really hope if it prevents him from coming up here so we don't have to do this run at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm not mad about it. And there he is. He's got a cigar in his mouth, and he's doing his thing, and it was good to see him. And then we were doing demos.
And so, to be clear, Brian called it off, not you.
Brian called it off. And I was good. And I was just like, hey, listen, Craig, I would never intentionally worm my way out of something. And if I did, I'd say so. In my mind, like, sleeping a little in wouldn't be so bad. Having a couple of drinks at night wouldn't have been so bad. So I wasn't like, I wasn't against it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had to do demos Cliff did a demo. He squashed some steel and put like a tea light in there. And then all of a sudden somebody was like, well, when are you going to do your demo? And I'm like, I'll do it after lunch. He goes, well, it's after lunch. I'm like, okay, I'll do a demo. So I was planning on doing a demo with some friction folders. And then as people started coming over, I noticed, you know, I was talking to John, and John Ariani, Sunset Forge, is a hilarious guy. He's not everyone's cup of tea because he's a bit acerbic, but he is incredibly hilarious. I mean, he is so, we had one story that I have to tell you, it was so goddamn funny. And he's just like, you know, he'll say something and then he'll latch on to an expression and say it the whole time. So he was saying, as I started doing the demo, he started yelling every 5 minutes, "What's the starting stock?" That is what all these guys do. If you make anything in the blacksmithing world, these motherfuckers could watch the most intricate of processes. And then the only thing they're going to ask you is, "What's the starting stock?" As in, "I know how to do this. I want to know what the starting stock is." Yeah. It's just so every 5 minutes I start in, "What's the starting stock? What's the start?" And he's just like heckling me. And then more and more people are coming, and then there are knife talk people are watching. And then all of a sudden I hear, on one side I hear every 5 minutes, "What's the starting stock?" And on the other side I hear something else. I'm getting heckled from two spots in the in the audience. And I look over, and there's Mareko Mamasi heckling me.
Heckling you.
Heckling me. They're both brilliant. Heckling me. What happened was, you know, John has been heckling me for my fucking, as long as I've known him, and he's, you know, he understands. I guess he emboldened Mareko to heckle me, too. So then I start to look out into the group of people, and I see Knife Talk people, and then I see some of our Knife Talk people with these shit-eating grins on their face. Because they know that they're trying, they all of a sudden they think that, like, there's going to be some sort of, like, you know, I'm going to lose it, or I'm going to drop the steel, or I'm going to fucking curse them out, or they're looking for a show.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving it to them, and I'm not giving it to them. I refuse to be the I'm not the monkey with the organ grinder. You know what I mean? That's one of my, like, deep-rooted things. You cannot make me do something. I don't want to do what you want me to do. And so I just kind of, you know, the two of them were like one on one side, one on the other side. And all I could think of is, if I did it to either one of you, I mean,
you'd never hear the end.
Oh my God, it would be like, you think Hawk Tua was bad? I would have been like nuts. So I just decided the move is you got to, like, perform under pressure. And I'm looking at these shit-eating grins, looking for problems from our listeners, and I'm like, fuck this shit. So I made it happen. I knocked out one friction folder, second friction folder, answering questions, talking, and then also kind of like holding back my two friends. And then I made it through. So
nice.
But I do have one funny story to tell you.
Yeah.
But I think we should do an even heat ad because I did see Spence.
Okay. How was Spence?
Oh, fantastic. He's got a baby on the way. He's got the new temper oven. By the way, ladies and germs, if you don't know, Even Heat is the manufacturer of the finest heat treat ovens available. Go to evenheat-kiln.com to see what it's all about. He's crazy, crazy, crazy for the temper oven. The temper oven's been a huge hit. It's an independent temper oven, so all of a sudden you don't have to worry about getting your knives or whatever you're heating, you're cooling down. Get the independent temper oven and then, you know, heat, treat, quench, boom, into the temper oven. Bingo, bango, bongo. We had a great time with those guys at Even Heat. He was great. Spence was terrific. So I'm going to tell you this one story because it's kind of funny. It was so funny. I mean, I literally thought I was going to have a stroke. No, but so we were after everything. We went to the family meal, and Steve Pellegrino was cooking these unbelievable tomahawk steaks. Like, reverse seared them, and then they see this guy, Steve Pellegrino, has cooked a steak for me before. A guy is like serious. If you told me he was a sushi chef, I'd believe it. Everything is very, you know, he's very, very, everything, the way he dresses, everything is very, like, to the T. So he's cooking some stuff, and then John Ariani and I have a couple of drinks, and then we realize we get some beer. So let's go get some back to where our area is. There's some beer. We'll get some beer. So we walk over to where our stuff is, and then there's like a communal bathroom. So I said, "Well, I'm going to go wash my hands, take a leak." So we open the door, and one of the cooks is in the bathroom. So John says to the cook, "Glad to hear you're washing your hands." And he sounded like Rodney Dangerfield. Do you know who Rodney Dangerfield is?
No, I don't know who that is. No.
Rodney Dangerfield is a very famous, classic 80s comedian. And he would say stuff like, he was, my wife, you know, what he said something about my wife. And then we go, I went to the doctor. He told me I have 6 months to live. And the doctor, I said to this doctor, I want a second opinion. Okay, you're ugly too. You know, kind of. You know, that kind of fucking
yeah, wacko. I know what you mean.
You
yeah,
know
yeah.
who he was. So right. one of his famous expressions also was, I don't get no respect, right?
Right.
So yeah. he's, I mean, guy's fucking classic American, you know, 80s comedian, very, you know, from Caddyshack and all these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to take a leak. There's nobody in the bathroom that we can see in the stalls. And I said, you know, John, you're just like Rodney Dangerfield. And out of nowhere, there was a closed door stall, and we hear through the door, I don't get no respect. The guy does the most classic Rodney Dangerfield line and punctuates it with the most disturbing shit you've ever heard in your life.
Brilliant. Was that Steve Steak going straight through him?
We didn't know who it was. He was obviously eavesdropping. He, you know, you sound like, I mean, it was like, I don't get no respect. So we get out of the bathroom and
perfect
we
timing.
Are crying with laughter. I mean, it was like the timing of it all was perfect. I don't remember ever laughing that hard. And we went to, and it was like, I mean, we just fucking died. Get the beer, go back to the party. But it was like, I mean, it was like a magical moment of disgustingness. I mean, it was hilarious.
Well, I thought you were going to go back to Spence from Even Heat. I thought that's what you were going to say.
You know, I didn't want to know who it was either. Like, I was just like, let's just keep this mysterious. And then, I don't get no respect was unbelievable. I mean, it was like some stranger just listening to us talk. And then, like,
let me just make a note of that for today's title.
Yeah, don't get no respect.
I don't get no respect.
And what else? It was great. It was great
emoji.
Seeing all these, lots of Knife Talk guys, tons of people who are really into Knife Talk. Everyone was really cool. It is kind of like a Neverland situation, like older guys, and you know they're in their element with making, and you can do these things, and they're obviously with or without the confines of their significant others, so they're like getting shit house bombed and all this stuff, and kind of it was great. It was super great. So
are there youngsters there as well?
Yeah, like, actually, one of our listeners is 15. So we got a message from one of our new listeners who's 15. And there were young kids there. There were parents who brought their kids. There was a lot of blacksmithing that you could do. I know Brian House was there doing. He donated. I think he sold or donated some forges. So there were some forges there. Coal Ironworks did the tent, and then there was, like I said, there was all these different things, and people were. A lot of it is the fact that all these people. They know each other through social media. So you're meeting everybody through Instagram, and there are all these people that you know. And that's
there's a familiarity.
I mean, all of a sudden you see these people. And it's different from Blade Show because not that many people were selling stuff. Like, I had stuff there to sell because I was just like, I need to make some Christmas bonus money, you know what I'm saying, for everybody in the shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of need, you know, I can't just show up and just flail around. So we sold some stuff. I did have to do what I hate to do more than anything else in the world, was I had to, like, I had knives out, and then I had to deal with people. One person, this woman. Everyone was cool. A lot of the people who bought knives were like people who listen to this podcast, and you know, or Full Blast, or they just kind of know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But there was one woman, and she looked like, I mean, some of the people looked like they got swept up on January 6th. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
No. What's January 6th?
January 6th. You know when they stormed the Capitol?
Okay. Yeah.
So there are some of them, which was fine. I mean, not a big deal. So this one older man, older woman came up, and this older woman said, looks at the pricing. And I didn't bring any chef knives because just like, these motherfuckers aren't cooking. You know, I brought like little, you know, little EDCs and stuff like that.
And this woman
says,
and stuff.
Woman says, is this the best you can do on the price? And I said, sure is. And I fucking turned my back. And she goes, I got to ask. And then I almost said, nah, you really don't.
But you don't have to.
Almost said it. I almost said it, and I was just like, Knife Talk, baby. This is like fucking Knife Talk shit. So,
no Knife Talk 10.
somebody, one of our listeners tried to like hose me, saying, you know, try to shame me for not accepting Knife Talk 10 on our podcast, on the website. I didn't bite.
Didn't bite. So, well, I tell you what, Knife Talk 15, if you head to combatabrasives.com, They sell all the abrasives you could possibly need, all the grits. And if you just look on the site, they've got stuff that you've never even heard of before. Go take a look. 15% off the entire order at combatabrasives.com. And try something new. As I said, they've got so many different types of backing, different types of materials, that kind of stuff. Try something new. It might just change your life. Go to combatabrasives.com and use Knife Talk 15.
I just got a load of stuff from them. When that 15% off comes off, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. So we could do a couple questions. I know it's very Damascus heavy in the show notes, so we could kind of pick and choose a couple things and save the rest for Mareko. He'll be back next week. Or we could do a lot. We have a lot of great listener feedback. There's a couple of questions in the that I think we might want to do just to base off of Maker Camp.
But okay. Let's do them then first.
Okay. So guys, if you want to listen to send anything to the show, questions, feedback, dilemmas, whatever, stories, anything you want, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and then that's where you can DM us your questions. This first one comes from our friend Peter Sankel. I met Peter Sankel at Maker Camp. Here's some feedback. So I'm 15. Did I give you? All right. So I'm 15 years old, and I'm getting into Instagram, and it's all good and well, except for the fact that a ton of you knife makers made your profiles age restrictions. Well, I guess I'll have to stick to leather crafters and woodworkers. It's all in good fun, of course. Yeah, there are a lot of kids out there who are getting involved with knife making, and there's this thing that, you know, a lot of us guys in business, especially with the way Instagram's working, is we're trying to figure out ways in which to find customers, and part of that is to do age restrictions, otherwise we have problems in regards to kind of getting out there.
Yeah, it's the type of content, isn't it, really? Not that it's, you know, it's 18 plus, but it's just the fact that it's knives and the way that Instagram is now looking at them as weapons or whatever they may be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it may be easy just to put an age restriction on, and hopefully you'll filter through then to the right people. And it's one of those things, isn't it? You know, if you're, you know, it's the likelihood is that 15-year-olds won't be buying your knives as well. But it is nice to sort of share with youngsters who are doing the work so they can sort of, whether, you know, learn from you or take inspiration, or, you know, or just you just see cool knives. So it is a shame, but yeah, Instagram's all over the place at the moment, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's not, you know, Fader Knives isn't just for selling. I do put stuff up there. Like, I just put up this, I figured out this, I revisited how to forge a friction folder fork, and I decided to put one up, the progression on there. And, I'm sorry, Peter, that that's the case. There probably is some sort of workaround, I'd imagine. Or you just say yourself 18, Peter. I mean, come on, you're a smart kid, and you know, just
They're not asking for any ID at the door, there, are they?
I mean, what are you doing here? Come on, man. I mean, I'm not telling you to, you know, do anything lurid. I'm telling you, just, you know, get yourself on there, figure something out.
I've got to say, Jeff, what I'm enjoying about your reels and stories is your music choices. I mean, Rod Stewart, Hot Legs, we had this week, which is, you know, a classic.
I'll tell you, if you really want to know, a lot of my musical tastes comes from my wife.
Really?
And wife, years ago, used to say, she would talk about music, and she's like, the kind of music I like is the sleazy music. Got to have a little bit of sleaze.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've always kind of felt like the Rolling Stones, especially in the 60s, the 70s and the 80s, has this some sleaze.
Yeah, even the guitar is sleazy. Yeah.
But the old Rod Stewart and the Faces, fucking good. You know, I cannot get past, I mean, Rod Stewart in the 80s, I mean, get out. But like those 70s, like Infatuation, remember that song we were in the jacket with like the shoulder pads and he's like looking through the binoculars? Oh, no, not again. The early 70s with when Ronnie Wood was in Faces,
good stuff.
Please.
And Stay With Me and that kind of
me.
Stuff.
Oh my God. If I could just choose, I feel like there's such a huge connection between the 70s Rolling Stones and Rod Stewart. But
The
Hot Legs. I mean, I was just like, because it was like the two hot tines. I thought it was the Hot Legs. So
yeah. Good
yeah,
one.
That was, nice. Yeah, I appreciate that. Coming from you, that means a lot.
Brian Hunt has sent a question as well. I was careful how I said that. Brian Hunt. I have a question on the Dharma Steel Knife Talk Build Along Challenge. Is it one picture for one billet worth, or can it be multiple? He said, I've got two billets and made a chef's knife out of one and a petty and a paring knife out of the other for a set of three. Well, I'd say one picture per knife, surely. So get good pictures of all three, I'd say.
I think that, number one is, when is the deadline? Is it some? I think that Brigham Kandel said it was like November 1st. Am I right or am I wrong?
Let me see if I can look it up.
All right. I'll vamp while you do that.
You vamp, I'll look. Okay.
So Knife Talk Build Along is coming along. And Brian, here's my suggestion. Considering that Craig and Mareko and I are going to be the judges, don't submit a threefer, because I think that the idea is one per billet. Now, if you can get two knives out of one billet or three knives out of one billet, I'm not going to nickel and dime you. But if you're getting two billets, I think that that might be a little bit far or over the bounds of than what other people are going to do, because I think everyone else got one billet. So if you're going to make like three knives out of one billet, okay, one thing. But if you're getting like you're putting up a set and you got two, I think you're, as my father used to say, you're hawking me in Chinook. That means you're like asking for a lot. So I would suggest, you know, whatever you can get out of one billet, that would be fine by me. And I'm not going to nickel and dime you, but like, you know, don't have, you know, 10 table settings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, voting begins on November the 16th. So I'd say November the 5th, November the 6th, you want to make sure that your photos are in to give them time to sort of collate them, put them up on the website, that kind of stuff. Remember, the hashtag is Dharma Steel Build Along, all one word. The actual event itself then is the 16th of November.
And you can if you have questions about it, questions about like how to submit and stuff like that, go to damasteel.ab on Instagram and then DM Carly.
Damasteel.se.
.se. But I thought it was AB on Instagram.
It's damasteel.ab, not dot, damasteel.ab on Instagram. Right. And it's damasteel.se on online.
You can definitely, without question, DM and ask for Carly, and she'll probably give you some information. So what I would do. But get your stuff in. And while we're at it, if you want to get the best pattern welded stainless steel, definitely get yourself some of that Dharma Steel. We've talked about it before. Stuff's easy to work with. There's a ton of great information in regards to how to finish it, how to heat treat it, how to etch it. Don't be intimidated by it. And if you go to damasteel.se, put in the promo code KnifeTalk10, you're going to get 10% off everything. For I think that the Dakar, which is the knife steel for the build along, is at Maritime Knife Supply, and I'm not 100% sure if he has any more or not. So you could go to maritimeknifesupply.com. That's your one stop shop for knife makers, steel belts, braces, handle materials, tools, tongs, forges, heat treating, covens, kilns, everything. Canadian distributor for combat abrasives. They also have all the Rhino-It. They got all the Dharma Steel. They got the Broadbeck. They got all that stuff. He is the only one who has the steel, the Dakar for the Dharma Steel build along.
And get on it now. You've got just over 2 weeks. So get on it.
You know what? I don't even know if I'm going to start mine, because here's the reason. I can't vote for myself. And it's like, I won it.
Well, you clearly did last year. So.
No, I didn't last year. I did win it 2 years ago.
2 years
ago. And I seem to remember the look on Pear's face when it was voted on that I won. I don't know if he was too happy about it, which is fine. I prefer it. I do have the award, I accepted it graciously, and it's hilarious. But we're going to be doing the voting for the big Dharma Steel build along, right?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
The next question comes from my friend Uncle Sam's Metalwork, and before I say anything, Uncle Sam Metalwork, his name's Adam. He's a great guy. He did something for me, don't get crazy, that was so thoughtful that I'm slightly overwhelmed. He gave me a piece of steel, and he says, this is a piece, and it was a chunk of I-beam from 9/11, from the World Trade Center. It was like a piece of I-beam that was cut, and he gave it to me. And I was like, in the beginning, I was just like, you know, I was kind of flipping about it just because I'm flipping about everything. And then the gravity of it having it was very overwhelming. And I'm very appreciative to Adam for that. It was a very kind, generous gesture. and I will make nothing from it because I'm going to kind of create some sort of like, I don't know, a stand for it and just like have it as this kind of a thing.
So it was really like I
didn't expect to be like moved by it, by having it, but I was really kind of very, I didn't really know what to say, frankly. So many thanks to my friend Adam. That was really great. He had a question and he says, I forgot to ask a maker camp. I have a knife that's 440C that I forged into an integral and I ground it before I hardened it, and it's not hard. Any way to do it now? I'm super proud of this knife. It's my first forged 440C in a hollow grind. Thanks, guys. So he forged a piece of 440C, stainless steel. He tried hardening it, didn't get hard. Can he do it again? The answer is
yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you need to, now it's ground, you need to be careful with it, particularly when it comes to quenching. And 440C, I assume you're using plates for that.
Well, you can't because he's got an integral bolster. So,
yes.
Mm. You can, a lot of these stainlesses, you can use oil. You can quench an oil. I know that AEBL quenches an oil. And I know that, obviously, if you're forging an integral bolster, you can't use plates.
Plates.
And I know that Josh Prince, who you saw, Josh Prince says hello.
Josh, hi.
Hey. Dude. Josh Prince made me a cup of coffee. I could have flown to the moon. He brought one of those little...
You were treated like a king there. Oh. Everybody's making you shit.
Hey, let me... Jeez. You are 1,000% right. If it's free, as I said to Mareko, everyone is giving Mareko everything. A glass of wine here, a little drink here, a little drink here. And I said to him, like, listen...
Maybe I will come next year.
you wouldn't have to lift a finger. You wouldn't have to lift a finger. I got I had this gold bracelet that allowed me to have access to everything, including the barbecue. And then John and I were walking into the kitchen. They were giving us food. Whatever. I mean, it was like, I didn't have to, I mean, I didn't lift a finger. I mean, it was really like, you know, you're just what you need, you know. Oh, booze, I mean, forget it. I mean, there was a part of there's open bar for an hour. Mm. Open bar for an hour, a bunch of fucking maniacs.
Locusts, I bet.
No, it wasn't that bad. Everyone was pretty bummed. The next morning, you should have seen the detritus on the ground. You should have seen the booze and the... Oh, I got another story to tell you. But what were we saying about... So Josh Prince made me this. He had one of those little Italian coffee makers, and he made me a little Bustelo, and then he had a little foamer, and he made me a little cappuccino. Oof. It was like, Jesus Christ.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
He's that guy's top of the line, by the way.
This sounds high level. This isn't camping. This is high
level. Well, it's high level because everybody makes it high level. Mm. But if I were to describe it, it is in what's referred to as the Irish Alps, and it really has kind of like a fairground look to it, with like maybe kind of freak show esque situations, and there's right. it's okay. like a kind of like okay. a you know it's got some sleaze. Let me yeah. just tell you, it's got some sleaze, and nice. Not like Rod Stewart, by the way. So where were we at? Oh, so here's my suggestion, Adam. Yeah, I think you can definitely heat treat it. Obviously, get Alaron Thomas's must-have book, Knife Engineering. You're gonna because stainless steels, as Craig, you know too, stainless steels are air hardening. So as you're heating it up and cooling it down, you have to be real careful in regards to it might have quenched a little bit while it just cooled down in the air. So I would anneal it. There's some annealing instructions in the back of Alaron Thomas's book. And then I would reheat treat it and then quench it in oil. And then I would also note that a lot of guys who are forging all the time, every time you forge a knife, when you get scale, that's one less bit of carbon in your knife. So if you're doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, there is a chance if you forge and forge and forge and heat and heat and heat, you could lose a lot of that carbon. So be aware of that. That's what I would say.
Cool. Cool. Right, I'll take this last one, then we'll do some feedback, yes, I suppose. Yes. Plumley Knives. And again, they've reached out on Instagram. We are Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram. DM us the questions, and we'll add them to the list. And he says, since Craig and Mareko were left unsupervised a couple of weeks back and blew through all the questions.
Yeah. that was really something.
Do you think it's more important to build your own style or make what others keep asking for? As an example, would be if I want to do more culinary knives as the main staple of what I want to make, but I have a bunch of people asking for hunting or outdoor knives. Should I chase the money or build a brand of what I'm wanting my business to look like? Okay, that's a good question.
Great question.
Okay, so let's say in this case he is making hunting knives, but he wants to make culinary knives. I'd say make what makes money, what allows you to do what you do. But then on the side, just do a few of these other things and see how they sell. And I think let the market decide. If they're good enough and people are buying them, then, you know, great. All of a sudden, you're now making culinary knives. That's what you want to be doing. So that's probably what I'd do. I'd probably be a bit measured about it and just, yeah, carry on doing what you're doing to earn the money with, you know, your regular sort of hunting and that kind of knives. On the side, do a couple of culinary knives, see how they sell. If they sell, make a few more the next month, and then before you know, you could have sort of a 60-40 split of doing mainly culinary knives, and who knows, that could then grow. That's probably the sensible way of doing it. What do you think?
I agree with everything you said. I usually say, if I can do it, I'll make you whatever you want. And that's in general because I don't see this as, you know, we talk to Mareko and other incredible bladesmiths and they see this as their art and their passion. And he brought out he was talking a couple of weeks ago about the devil knife that he's making with Anchorage Forge. Remember we talked about that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, it is is the devil's head. It looks like a fucking devil's head. I mean, it looks like it's madness. And he's incredibly talented and he is a artist and he is a sculptor and what he's doing is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I do the same thing to a certain degree, but at the same time, like, I'm not as sentimental as with my work. That I know that we need to make some money here too. So if somebody wants something specific, I'll make it for them. Like and sometimes it gets your creative juices flowing. We're starting to kind of push away from certain things. Hunting knives and our bull elks and all those really did well for a long time. I think that we're trying to slightly kind of push away from that and do more culinary stuff. But I mean, at the same time, if somebody comes in, and they want something, I'm gonna make it. If I can make it, or if I had made it. So my opinion is in regards to this. Is this your branding should be the stuff that you want to do, but at the same time, go with what works too. Because as you grow, you're gonna see what works and what doesn't work, and you're gonna see what, like, you know, well, I can't stop selling those because I mean I built my whole situation on that. I was doing when I was doing my friction folder fork with the Rod Stewart song. Brian House says, "Oh, you know what you could do is, I mean, Mr. You know, Elon Musk Jr. You know, I mean, he is unbelievable. He brought a fucking Starlink with him to goddamn Maker.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he is all in. I mean, he might as well get a SpaceX tattoo. I mean, he's on that Elon Musk dick so hard. It's just like, I mean, respectfully. I mean, I love Brian. He's my friend. I love Brian. I'm just breaking his balls. But he says, you know, that looks like a golf divot tool. You could go into that business." I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going into the golf business. I'm not going into the golf accessories business. Like
golf
I'm not Fader Cummins culinary knives and golf accessories. Get out of here. I'm not doing that. Like, I do have some standards in regards to where I want Fader knives to go. Because all of a sudden, that's all I need is like, I thought you made culinary knives. You make golf accessories? Yes, I do. Yeah. I make golf accessories.
You saw a big hole in the market, a hole in one.
Yeah, a hole in one. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Then move on. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's really important to just like, you know, see what works and see what doesn't work and then kind of cut loose. Like, I made these things years ago for these butchers, these sausage pricks, which was like for sausage making. Nobody fucking wanted them. So I'm like,
to be fair, you weren't calling butchers sausage pricks then.
Yeah. Was.
I made for these butchers, these sausage pricks.
Yeah, that should sound like I was with these sausage pricks. No, the knife was called the sausage prick. I wasn't calling the butcher the sausage prick. However, not too far.
That's his new name.
Yeah. Listen, sausage prick. But I stopped. That's really fun. That's a good catch. I really did see this. Yeah. So the sausage pricks didn't work. Neither did they. So but at the same time, it's like, you know, you only know if you got to try. And the crazy part is as time goes by, certain things are going to work and certain things are not going to work. Like fucking merch. Merch sucks. I'm sick to death of it, and I have to keep doing it. And, you know, some days people want – I still have a grip of 3XLs, 4XLs, and a couple of 5XLs from all these fucking dudes who wanted big shirts.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's go to something else. You want to do a little listener feedback?
Do it. Before you do that, I'm going to tell everybody about Texas Farrow Supply. They've got everything you could possibly need, whether you're a knife maker or a blacksmith or whatever you may be, all at texasfarrowsupply.com. And the good news is they sell Indasa Rhino-Wet in all the grits you could possibly need. And if you're doing any sort of handwork, any hand sanding, Rhino-Wet's the stuff you need to be using. So head on over to texasfarrowsupply.com, use Knife Talk 10 and get 10% off your entire order, everything in your cart. And as I said, fill that up with Indasa Rhino-Wet because you will be needing it. texasfarrowsupply.com.
And November 16th, Texas Farrow Supply is supporting Blade Fest from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join us for a free all-day event with knife-making demos and vendors. Lunch will be provided. And Texas Farrow Supply will be open all day. Live demos from Jay Nielsen, Shelly Jack, Eric Rivers, Gerald Harper, Joe Curtis, Chris Jones. It'll be great. So go to texasfarrowsupply.com for more details. And then if you're interested in being a vendor or any information, you can email sales@texasfarrowsupply.com. But I did want to mention something that was pretty cool. Let me find this. So for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about we have been helping this knife show. And then a number of months ago, this knife show happened, STP Custom Knives. They did an event at the Louisiana Knife Show that they had to reschedule because of a hurricane. Well, they made an award, the Best Kitchen Knife Award, sponsored by Knife Talk Podcast. And the winner was awarded, he's not on Instagram, but it's Byron Mechay. Byron Mech Bladeworks won the Knife Talk Podcast Best Chef Knife, Best Kitchen Knife. Cool. He's a pretty slick knife. So congratulations to them and congratulations to you, the listener. Congratulations to you for listening to that. And if you want to send some feedback or anything else, once again, go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we'll get you all squared away. First one comes from another one from our friend Peter Sankel, a nice kid. Mm. Hey, guys, this is Peter from New Jersey. Just wanted to say it was great meeting Jeff and Mareko at Maker Camp. I had a blast. Anyway, love the podcast. Looking forward to hearing y'all again next week. So, yeah, Peter was a good kid, and I hope that we influence you in a positive way. The next one comes from our friend Paul Jansen. Peter, it's going to get, we're going to have some bad words. So just be aware that there's going to be a lot of naughty words, and don't blame me. Paul Jansen said, I just got shit whipped in the face. I got shit whipped in the face by a 220 belt that blew up on me. And my first thought was, please don't have a penis shaped welt or I'm going to have to send a picture.
That was his first thought.
Yeah. Please don't have a penis-shaped welt on my face, or I'm going to have to send a pic to Knife Talk. That was one of the great stories. One of our listeners from a number of weeks back, did a demo of a bottle opener. The bottle opener fell out of his tongs, hit him in the face, and it looked like a dick and balls burned into his face, pointing towards his mouth.
I don't get no respect around here.
I don't get no respect. Unbelievable. This is a funny one, too, because I didn't get it until I saw the picture. So Hubris Workshop says, here's some listener feedback. Shout out to your sponsor, Combat Abrasives, for including a surprise bottle of Caviar Advanced Eye Lifting Serum in my last order of belts.
Oh.
Somebody sent an eye lifting serum, and I didn't know what he was talking about until he sent a picture. Somebody had put in Caviar Advanced Eye Lifting Serum into his box of belts. I'm sure this will be great for my droopy ass eye bags under my eyes. I guess we knife makers really need a reminder to pamper ourselves after a long day in the shop. It was a bit of a challenge convincing my wife that my new eye cream came with the belts for my grinder. But honestly, babe, I think that she's getting used to my new skincare routine. Anyway, thanks for the show and the discount code. Cheers, guys. So, Hubris Workshop, Combat Abrasives, sending stuff for your eye bags, ladies and gentlemen.
Allegedly. I'm on his wife's side. I am.
Oh, you think he just got it in the? I think those eye bag creams are also. Never mind. I'm not going to go into it. All right. So last week we were talking about Jesse Losey says it was talking about. So basically, last week we were talking about telling stories, and Mareko was telling a story about how a guy on Facebook said, "You never gave me that knife," or you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like people will, you know, jokingly say, "I'm still waiting for that knife," but we were talking about the fact that they might be joking, but they don't realize. Mm. That people looking at what somebody else is writing is...
Ah, right, when people comment on things. Right,
they're commenting on things, and then they think they don't know really what to make of it, except for the fact that maybe Mareko just took this person's money and didn't send the thing. But it wasn't. It was just like people using his head. So Jesse Losey has a great response if somebody writes something like that. When somebody writes in the comments, "I'm still waiting on my knife," you reply, say, "Bro, your check bounced." That is an excellent way of stopping the funniness.
Yes.
Stopping the funniness. Good job, Jesse.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Leonardo Lee says, "This seems like a good place to vent. I went to my shed for the first time in a while, hoping to enjoy some time making something with no power." He says, "There's no power. I looked around and some low IQ subhuman with an allergy to having a job had stolen the cable that I run power to my shed with. It was a chunky 32 amp cable cut off just outside the shed, and I found the plug end off next as well. They stole the wire leading to a small external socket. Thankfully, the doors to the house and the shed were all locked up, and the garage is full of junk, so there's nothing else missing as I can tell." Hmm. So that was a big thing for a while. I don't know if that's. I think he's a UK guy.
Taking cable, yes.
Are they stealing copper in the UK?
In the UK, not so much. I mean, not around here. But yeah, in the UK, it was a big thing. Yeah, yeah. Copper and lead. Yeah.
There was a theft. I'm gonna throw John Harriani under the bus. So he's been making these.
What did he steal?
No, he didn't steal anything. Or I think. I mean, you know what the expression up there was: "If it's free, it's for me, and I'll take three." So he's been making these ball peen hammers, and then he's been hollowing out the peen end, and then drilling a hole through, and then drilling a hole through all the way to the handle and making a pipe. Have you seen these?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Sunset's
so
making
explain,
fucking...
Explain that again. Sorry.
All right, so you have your ball peen hammer on to the hammer, right? So the hammer is on the handle.
Yeah,
He drilled a hole into the ball peen and made like a cup inside. So it's like there's a bowl on the inside of the ball peen part.
Yeah.
He drilled all the way through, and then he drilled another drill through the bottom of the handle all the way through, so it connected, so it looks like a peace pipe.
Right, okay, yeah.
So he's been doing it, and people are going crazy for it. So he made one, and then he runs a tube in there, and, you know, you smoke your weed or whatever he does, like, you know, whatever. So he sold one to a guy, and he's got, like, a wait list. Everybody wants a fucking, you know, ball peen hammer, you know, weed pipe, or out pipe, whatever, smoke whatever you want. So I guess he delivered it to one of the people. That person, you guys did a pass around the campfire that night. Next morning, fucking gone. So the hammer pipe was stolen.
Oh.
The better part was Sunday morning, John's looking through his hammers. He's like, there's one hammer missing. There's one hammer missing. And we have a thing. I don't like to leave my stuff out just because I had a hat stolen once. I was like, that's good enough for me. So he's just like, you know, I got a hammer. Somebody stole one of my hammers because I don't know. The money isn't right, and I know I'm missing it. And he's just breaking his – he's just trying to figure it out, and we're just like, it got stolen. Three quarters of the day walks by. Chris Zeppieri comes by, and he goes, you know, I can't – I'm looking for it. I'll give you that money for the hammer whenever. And he goes, what? He's like, don't you remember you sold me the hammer last night? He was so bombed he forgot that he sold the hammer to Chris that night. There was a lot of that shit. At one point, I loved Cliff Dufton. He was speaking in tongues I'd never heard before, to the point where I thought maybe he was having a stroke. He was lit up. So
brilliant.
Jocko says, this is Jocko, at Jocko says, some feedback on last episode for those whose post seems suppressed. All of it's your content. All right, so, you know, people feel like their posts are suppressed. All it is your content is not interesting or worth sharing. Make shareable and watchable content, and you will have interest. And this is not arrogance, but honesty. Some of you folks just need to hear it. So,
yeah, quite true, I think.
That is true. Brigham Cadell wants to know, you forgot to mention that the Damasteel build along is due on November 1st.
November
1st, okay. as far as Brigham Kendall's concerned. So get a good picture, do a nice picture, and submit it, because we're going to be judging it. So if you do one of the ones like last year, Brigham had it sticking out of his pant, you know, his zipper, with his fucking toes on the fucking kitchen floor, you're out. I'm not voting for you, that's for sure. Corey Phillips says, the knife-making community is a small world. I recently found out my high school English teacher now runs a knife-making workshop and one Forge and Fire. Shout out to Yellow Rose Forge. Have any of you had any small world moments like that knife-making community? Corey, Craig just had the small world moment this past week. He's been much smaller world than Craig is, like, deeply ensconced in the Oasis world.
Yeah, it is weird when stuff like that happens, isn't it? I can't think of any others that have happened recently.
The head person of sales at Total Boat and I went to college together, but I didn't know. Yeah. And, you know, we knew people in common, and, you know, they've been very good to me. I think a lot of it has to do with the college, you know, college connection, frankly. That's a small world thing. I'm trying to think of other small world things. You know, the small world things are really cool. It is weird. It always feels like something strange. Like, it's always this very strange situation. I'm trying to remember if I thought that there was another funny story I was going to tell you about Maker Camp. Nothing. We'll do a couple more and then we'll get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Did you say you saw the Broadbeck guys there?
I did see the Broadbeck guys. Ryan and Ben were there, and they brought all their grinders. And I'll tell you something cool that they have and that some of you guys should look at is Matt Stagmer did a demo There's a special wheel that he helped create. I think it's called the Stagmer wheel. It's a thin wheel for doing, you know, scalloping or file work, and it fits on your broadback, and it was really amazing. And he ripped through file work with this very thin wheel on a J-Flex belt. And if you go to broadbackironworks.com, you can check out all the things that they have. That goes horizontally, it goes vertically. If you're removing material, this is for you. The Matt Stagmer wheel is awesome. I swear by the Mareko Mamasi Platin. The surface grinder is awesome. We were using their surface grinder. I had to make some steel smaller, and I used a surface grinder. All their attachments are very user friendly, and you could, if you don't have a broadback and you probably want to think about like retrofitting some of their attachments, I think it's probably very easily doable. Their power hammer was there. That thing looks sick. Jay Nielsen was using it. Josh Prince was using it. Mareko was using it. They had a pile of guys using their American made power hammer for knife makers. It's definitely really cool. And if you go to Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, if you go to broadbackironworks.com, put in the promo code Knife Talk 10, you get 10% off their attachments.
Nice.
So
nice. Whilst you were doing that, I've just been looking on the Evenheat website actually to see those tempering ovens. I've got to say, stacked up, how cool they look.
They're cool. They're cool.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. It doesn't get much better than Evenheat, you know? And the LB series are so smart because they don't have coils in the back. And it's like, you won't burn the tip of your knife anymore. Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, you know what? Let's fuck around for a little bit because there was a couple things I did want to talk about.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you want to do the bye for now or?
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
We'll go through this whole charade. Okay, everybody. We've had a great show. Thank you very much for listening. Bye for now.
There's a couple things I wanted to bring up, and one of them is hilarious, and it reminded me. So we don't talk politics in this podcast, and it's a lot of it's because you don't want to hear our politics. We don't want to hear your politics. We don't want to get you in fight. But there's something happened. In podcasting, that is so fascinating. Now, with the way the presidential thing is running, all the politicians who are running for office are now staying away from, not staying away, but they're now all going on podcasts, and everyone's trying to vie to get on to Joe Rogan. Kamala Harris and Trump are both trying to get on. They've been on everything. Trump's been on. Theo Vaughn, he's been on Andrew Schultz's podcast. They've been on Kamala's been on the Charlemagne the God. They're going on these like very very young podcasts.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you something that's hilarious. So I heard this today, and I don't know the name of the podcast they're on, but I believe it's part of Barstool Sports. I guess Trump goes on this Barstool Sports podcast. And they start talking about football, and he says something like, "Yeah, I could never play football because, you know, I'm just not that big or tough." And then he said something along the lines of, "You know, the people who play football, so and so and such and so." And he said something that was just like, you know, pretty honestly, pretty nothing, right? So the guys in the podcast started laughing at whatever he said. The Washington Post contacted the podcast to ask them. Now this is a serious newspaper asking a podcaster why they laughed at something that he said, because they're going to do an article about it. So instead of giving a statement, the podcaster went on to Twitter, X, and said, "I just got contacted by the Washington Post. They want to know why, when I had President Trump on, why I laughed at a certain joke. And here's my response." He puts the phone up to his butt and he farts. That's my response to a newspaper. And all I could think of was years ago when that guy said, "Craig, I love Knife Talk, but with that Jeff saying all these terrible things, you're never going to get sponsors. You're never going to do anything. It's all going to fall away for the wayside." Podcasters now hold all the cards. It's
completely
hilarious.
Completely
hilarious.
Which is why you can see why politicians are jumping on that, you know, because that they're reaching audiences.
Oh, yeah.
Because who's buying papers?
Nobody.
Who's watching TV news?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Exactly.
It is hilarious. I mean, Kamala Harris was just on Howard Stern. I mean, it's like it's hilarious. And the funny thing is like I remember my dad saying, oh, you're listening to this, you're such a lowbrow. And I'm thinking to myself, that might be the case, but I could never have thought that. I guess they're all trying to get on Joe Rogan. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious that that's where we've come from. So
are they having a hard time? Are they being asked difficult questions?
No, I think that the move is, I mean, the comedy ones that they've been on, I listen to Flagrant too because I know Andrew Schultz a little bit. They're what the podcasters are trying to do, which is interesting, is they're trying to make them relatable. Like they're trying to make them talk like normal people.
Yeah.
So that's far more interesting than these boilerplate questions that a journalist would say. So like you are getting a sense of something different from them, which I like, but I'm not 100% sure how it will translate in regards to the voting. But I mean, I think that what's happening is all these the people who are running all these politicians are saying we got to get on these, you know, younger. We got to get these different audiences, and you know, it's interesting, but it's hilarious because just like, you know, a couple of years, 6 years ago when we first started, no one was like, "What the fuck's a podcast?" And now it's like, it's such a huge, I mean, influence. I mean, I was doing the demo. Most of those guys were all Knife Talk listeners.
Yeah.
Now when I talk to Even Heat. Or I talk to Spence, or I talk to Ryan, or I talk to the other sponsors. They know about this shit from the podcast. Like, I mean, Broadbeck has told me that because of Knife Talk. I mean, they've built their business. It's crazy. So it's like it's wild. So
it's just part of that thing, isn't it? It's like TV has changed. Everything's Netflix or Amazon Prime, or whatever it may, Amazon TV, whatever it may be, because everybody wants their content when they want it. They don't want to subscribe to, you know, at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, you're going to hear this. People are busy. People are, you know, doing stuff.
Right.
And I think podcasts just fit that so well. And we can get so many different niches out there. You know, there's not going to be a radio station for knife makers. But, you know, there's our show, there's other shows, and there's content out there. And I think, it is amazing.
However, I do believe that there is people are starved for live content. Because these radio shows that are still out on terrestrial radio who can take phone calls and they can also react to things in real time. I mean, we'll talk about something that happened last week and it's just like, you know, we record on a Wednesday, it comes up on the following Monday and all this shit's happened. The fact that you can kind of talk about stuff in now, like sports radio is perfect. Like no one's going to talk about the game from last week. You know, you want to hear about the stuff from that happened last night. So I still believe that regular radio will make a comeback because people want that live part. But yeah, I mean, it is very convenient to like just kind of binge. Well, one of our listeners was telling me that he just binged Knife Talk when he's driving. Like he's went one after the other. Did the whole fucking thing. Did the whole fucking thing.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But speaking of, what have you been watching? Because I was talking about live stuff. What have you been watching or reading?
Watching? Not much. I've been, weirdly, listening to a lot of podcasts at the moment.
Any recommendations?
While traveling and stuff. There's one that I love, and Amy thinks I'm a psychopath for it. It's called Red Handed. And it's like a true crime thing, really. But now we're in October. They're getting they're pulling the big guns out. And they're pretty intense. But I love them. They're sort of hour 15, hour 20 minute episodes, and they'll go through the full story. They do a lot of investigating behind the scenes and stuff, and they tell you these to be honest, a lot of them are quite sick stories. Weirdly, I find them quite enjoyable.
Yeah, you are something else. I mean, you really.
My wife's like, "How can you listen to that?" It's
just, I'm with her.
I don't know.
I'm with her. You sent me that one about that girl who was a child, but she wasn't a child. She was adopted. But
oh god, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
That fucked me up for a little bit.
But there's a lot of there. Basically, at least one a week that they do. And that it's been going for years. So I've been going through sort of old ones that I hadn't heard and stuff. It can get a bit much at times. Podcast wise, that's pretty much it. There's a few music ones I listen to and that, but I haven't really been watching much, to be honest with you.
Right now in New York, there's the baseball playoffs have been unbelievable, and we're down to four teams in the National League. There's the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani, who is most famous baseball player in the world, and the Mets, New York Mets. And in the American League, it's the Yankees and the Guardians. And it's been awesome. And part of it's been awesome is I've been rekindling my friendships with my college friends who are high baseball fans. So, like, I have this one – I have my high school friend I do basketball with. We text during basketball games. And then I have my college friend who's a prosecutor in the Justice Department. And he and I are watching baseball games together, and we're texting back and forth. And, you know, it's been so fun. One of the weirdest things – Do you know where the high five was created? The high five. You know what the high five is?
Yeah.
We talk about high fives and hand jobs.
I assumed maybe baseball.
It's baseball.
Yeah, baseball.
It was. I think the guy was running, and then they just like slapped hands together, and it was like baseball created the high five.
I can see that.
There is a player on the Dodgers. I don't know what's going on with the Dodgers in Los Angeles. But there's this one player, and you can look it up on, his name's Kiki Hernandez. K-E-K-E Hernandez. He hit a home run against the Padres. He rounded the bases. And now what these baseball players are doing is they have a little, and basketball players are doing it too, and football players, they all have their own celebration move. Like, they'll spike the ball, or in baseball, they'll have special, each person will have a special handshake for each other. Same thing in basketball. Frankly, it's enough. Like, everybody's got a special handshake. It's so stupid. And even the Yankees do it. Like, Aaron Judge has got different handshakes to all these different people. I don't like it at all. Kiki Hernandez hits the ball over the fence, runs around the base, hits home plate, goes up to his friend, and they bump crotches.
Oh.
Dick bump.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like...
high dicks.
It's high dicks. Mm. It's high dicks. That's right. It's fucking high dicks, and I hate it. And I don't like any of the celebrations, but the fucking high dicks, I cannot handle. I can't... You got to see it. You got to look up Kiki Hernandez fucking celebration.
I can do that now.
Vamp. But it's like...
Was it Kiki Hernandez?
Kiki Hernandez... And then the celebration. You could probably just put in crotch, and I'm sure it'll come up. He crosses the base, and it's like they just bump dicks.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Wait a second here. I've come up. All I put was Kiki crotching.
Oh, no. And don't say Kiki crotching. Don't
and,
do it.
And quite clearly, this isn't what you mean.
15-year-old watching, don't listen to this part. Don't put in Kiki crotch.
Anyway, show's over. We speak later.
It's Kiki.
How do you spell Kiki?
K-E-K-E.
Oh, right. Okay.
It should come right up because everyone's just like, what the fuck happened to baseball? Because it used to be high fives and now it's high dicks. So I just cannot get over it. And then there's this. And then
Gavin Lux and Kiki Hernandez celebration is pure gold. Let's have a look at this.
I mean, you know. He's. I mean, it's okay.
Oh, gee, yeah. Like, no, that's no good, is it?
What the fuck, right?
No. Yeah.
Like, you got your kids, and baseball players are going to be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? It's fucking high dicks, right?
Madness.
I mean, it's...
Madness.
It's the stupidest, and all I can think of is the Dodgers have to lose just for this reason. Like, you cannot have... there. If the Yankees play the Dodgers, and the Dodgers come to Yankee Stadium... and Kiki Hernandez does high dicks at home plate at Yankee Stadium, it's going to be a fucking riot. The Bronx will burn. I mean, the ghost of Babe Ruth will come from the ground, and I hope pull him down with him. It's outrageous. And then you know
Madness.
What this Kiki Hernandez did? He's on live television, and they're interviewing him, and he goes, so what is it about the Dodgers that is so great, and why is your team winning so much? And then he has this stupid shit-eating look on his face, and he turns to the – and this is a national TV show, a national broadcast, and he says, are we live? And he goes, yes, we're live. And he goes, because we don't give a fuck. And then he has a smile, and he smiles as if, like, he said something bad. It was such a disgrace, and it was like, I don't know what was worse, the fact that he wanted to curse on live TV or he did high dicks. So that's where we're at.
Brilliant. So this week's show is now going to be called...
I don't think high dicks is what
I don't get no respect, # high dicks.
Oh, my God.
No, I won't.
Don't do high dicks.
No, I mean, no.
Some of our sponsors have limits, I think. I don't know.
We shall test them out on November 16th.
What are you going to do to the poor pair?
I don't know. I got to put my head down and think.
Don't go crazy. You've gone crazy.
We need to go big. I think we need to go big.
This isn't the atomic bomb with them, is it?
If we do the whole intro thing again, I might have to stand up and give my dick. I don't know.
Don't give Pear a high dick. Don't do it. I'll think of something.
With that, thank you all for listening. We shall speak to you again next week. Bye for now.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.